I love this time of the year. I really do. I've always loved it, but particularly when I got saved, my life changed and took on new meaning. Now, I'm not going to be long today, I don't think. But I'm going to say some things today that most of you, a couple of things I'll be saying today that most of you have never heard. And in fact, some of you will even wonder if what I'm saying is right. But when you get to heaven, you'll find out it is, for sure. I'm going to start with a lovely scripture that from 2 Corinthians and chapter 9 and verse 15. And there it is. You know this. Most of you know this off by heart. The Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." The King James Version says, "for his unspeakable gift." Meaning, you can't put words to the gift that God has given to us. Speaking of Jesus, his indescribable gift. So he says, thanks. He starts off by saying, thanks be to God. And then in Colossians 3:17, he says, give thanks to God the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, and he says the same things again. Give thanks in all circumstances. And Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 21, I'll just pick the pieces out. He says, always giving thanks for everything. So the Apostle Paul is emphasizing to the churches in that first century, give thanks to God. Be thankful for what you have. Now, Christmas time is a wonderful time when people are thankful for gifts that they receive. I would imagine that everybody here this Christmas will receive some gifts. Some of you will be very thankful for the gifts you receive. Some of you won't. But that's life. Some people give and people are so glad and they thank people for the giving. Other people receive because they just expect to have it anyway and there's very little thanks come from that. But I'm saying to you that this Christmas time, in the midst of all the singing of the carols, and they're beautiful carols, and they focus correctly, but so often we can get so used to something that we fail to keep on doing it. The Bible tells us, it emphasizes, give thanks to God the Father, give thanks in all circumstances, always give thanks for everything. David says, who was that great man of praise, David says that he will praise God at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. David knew what the power of praise was. I've been praising God now for 63 years. I got saved 63 years ago, and I was absolutely revolutionized when I got changed. It was like a Damascus Road conversion I had as a 15-year-old kid. My life changed, and I started to praise God. 63 years later, I'm still praising him. But I don't want to praise him out of habit. I don't want to praise him out of ritual. I want to praise him because I've got a connection with him. Did you understand that? As you know, my dear wife has got dementia, and when I go in to see her, it always upsets me because she can't understand very much at all. But I sing to her. On Wednesday I was singing, and Friday I was singing some love songs to her, because we go into a little place where nobody is, and we have a little meal together. I feed her, and we go in this little place where visitors can come, and I sing love songs to her. I look at her and I'm still connecting with her. She no longer can connect properly with me because her mind is just not working. That's what happens when you have dementia. But you know what? After all these years of being married to her, and I've been married for 59 years, I still connect with her. And I look to her, and I tell her I love her, and I sing to her. And then I sing some hymns to her. But I sing silly little songs that most of you wouldn't know. You know, I'm leaning on the lamppost at the corner of the street in case a certain little lady goes by. Oh me, oh my, I hope that little lady passes by. I sing songs like that to her because I connect with her. Most of you haven't got a clue what it's like. That was George Formby's song. Who knows that? And yeah, a few of the oldies look. But I connect. In marriage, it's easy to lose connection because you get so used to each other, you take each other for granted. And in marriage, you can stop connecting. And it's the same with our Christian life. We can stop connecting with God. We can go through the motions, but it's not real connection. We could come on a Sunday morning and sing choruses, hymns, beautiful carols, and we can sing them, and in a sense we mean them because we're Christians, but there's not that sense of connection that I'm doing this out of love. A lot of people say to me that, you know, God saved us to love us, so that we can love him. Well, I think that's one reason why he created us and he saved us, is so that we can love him. And by the way, the love that we have for God, by the way, is the love that he puts in our hearts. Come on. That love is God's love in us that we give him back. I think that when we start to praise God and give thanks to God, things happen within us that we don't realize. Because truly giving thanks to God, and I don't mean, you see, a lot of people say grace before every meal, and God bless you for doing it. But let me just say, it can be just come a habit thing. It can be just come a ritual thing, you know what I mean? When I first got saved at the age of 15, 16, there was an old man in our church, lovely, tall, old gentleman. He must have been in his late 70s, my age now. But to me, he was like the Ancient of Days. Because when you're 15, anybody who's over the age of 60 is really old. And, you know, so can you imagine he was getting on towards 80? So I'm just learning about God. I've come from an unsaved home, and I'm just learning about God. This guy, every Sunday morning, when their little prayer time, would stand up and he would pray a simple prayer. Oh God, thank you for the food that I've eaten this week. Thank you for the clothes that I wear. Thank you for the shelter that I have. Thank you for my wife, my children, my family, my friends. He used to say that prayer almost every week. And you could tell when he was saying it, he meant it. It was not a ritual. When he says, God, I want to thank you for the food I've had, he really meant it. And as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid, that really affected me. I thought, this man really is thanking God for simple things. I wasn't thanking God for the food I'd eaten. I wasn't thanking God for the home that I've got. I wasn't thanking God for the clothes that I wore. Simple things. I was thanking him for my salvation. I was thanking him that he'd forgiven me. I'm thanking him that he'd washed me from my sin. I was thanking him that I got eternal life. But those simple things, I was not connecting with God. And this man taught me, just by listening to him praying, he was connecting with God. And I always do that. I've always given thanks to God for all sorts of things. Give thanks, Paul says, all the time and in all circumstances. He wouldn't have said that unless it was possible to do it. Some people think, well, you can't thank God all the time because life doesn't run smooth all the time. Of course it doesn't. And by the way, there's never a promise in the Bible that life will run smooth for you while you're on earth. When you get to heaven, there will be. Not here. There's no promise in the Bible that because you're a Christian that says life will run smooth for you. In fact, Paul says anyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That isn't running smooth. Anyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But in the midst of persecution, in the midst of sorrow, we can give thanks. And I want to tell you the greatest. And I've seen death many times as a pastor. I've been in people's homes when people have passed away. I've had people in my arms that have died in hospital at home. I can see the tragedy, the hurt, the pain that death can cause. One of the first funerals I ever took was a cot death. 2-year-old little baby, and these people were not Christians, but they came to our church and said, "Will I take the funeral?" And I went to that funeral, and I just cracked up when I saw the father, big tall man he was, walking in to the crematorium with a little white coffin in his hands. I want to tell you, that cracked me up. I looked at him, I thought the pain and the agony that they were going through. And today, all around the world, people are suffering pain, hardships, discomfort, hurt. We do. And I've seen it. But probably for me personally, my greatest hardship is looking at my wife, who I love so much but cannot communicate with. I know she's lost everything. She has no memory of, she doesn't even remember Pamela, David, and Stephen's names now. She knows me. I'm the only one she knows. And she doesn't know any of the grandchildren or children. A grandchildren that I saw her love and pray for. And so I look at her, and I want to tell you, that cuts me up. That hurts. And then when I have to go to leave her, and she reaches out for me because she knows when I'm going, and she reaches. And that cuts me up that I've got to leave her there. So I know what suffering is. I know it. I know what heartache is. I remember one lady once said to me when I was pastoring in Armidale, and I was about 40, 45 years of age then, and I'd preached a sermon. She didn't like the sermon I preached. Going out the door, I was shaking hands. She says to me, "It's all right for you, young man. You don't know what suffering is." That's what she says to me, just like, I thought, "You're a silly woman. I'm not a young man. I'm in my 40s. She was, you know, I'm not a young man. I know a little bit about life. I do know. And people don't understand that pastors go through heartache and pain just like anybody else. But what it doesn't stop me doing is praising God. I give thanks. Do I give thanks to God because my wife has got dementia? No. Because I don't believe God gave her dementia. But I praise God because she's in a lovely nursing home. I praise God because she's got some lovely African nurses that call her mama, and that dress her up beautifully. They even put makeup on her sometimes, and long dangly earrings and big chunky stuff around. And she's never been that, but she doesn't know. And they put the brightest of clothes on her sometimes. And I praise God for the care that she's getting. Do you understand that? I don't praise God. I look at things, I look at every circumstance in life, and I try to say, how can I praise God in this? And you will find you can. Every cloud has a silver lining, whatever it may be. No matter how dark and dismal it may be. And this Christmas time is going to be very dark for a lot of people already. The tragedies there in that volcanic island, the tragedies of those families. There's clouds all over, dark clouds looming. But every cloud, I believe in God. Has a silver lining that we can give thanks to God. Very quickly, praising God, giving thanks, releases chemicals in us, in the brain, that produce happiness, joy, well-being, and sanity. A lot of drugs are designed to try to unlock certain chemicals in the brain. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I can't remember the name. I've read them. Is serotonin one of them? All sorts of chemicals that are there. There's chemicals that help to make you sleep in your brain that the brain can release. There's chemicals that help you to calm down. There's chemicals that can waken you up and stimulate you. So doctors try to, medical science tries to invent tablets and pills that releases these chemicals more. Depression tablets do that. They aim at chemicals that will release a sense of joy and well-being in you so that you're not depressed, okay? But I believe that I don't need a tablet. I just need to keep praising God. If I focus and connect, not out of habit, not out of ritual, but if I focus and I start to praise him no matter what, my brain releases those chemicals that God gave me, that God created in the human race. And those wonderful chemicals produce happiness, joy, well-being, and sanity. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Bigger amen than that. Amen. Because it's the truth. Praising God, giving thanks, is something that God created us for. Listen to this. So this is where I'm going to tell you something now that some of you, most of you, have never heard before. We are the only ones who appreciate what God has done. There are no animals on this earth that can appreciate the creative power of God. Only human beings. Did you hear that? God made all these beautiful animals, all the insects, the butterflies, the moths, the creepy crawlies. He made them all. And none of them can appreciate the creative powers of their creator. Then lastly, God says, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God, he created us. And what is that image that God made? Two eyes, two ears, a nose? No. Because monkeys have got them. Lots of animals have got them. What is it that God is talking about? I believe, and some people say, oh, he made man with the capacity to love him if he wants to. Well, yeah, but God is love. God is, can I just say this? I'm not being rude, but God doesn't need your love. It's not like I heard a preacher once preach, God created us so he could create beings that will love him and fulfill something in God's heart. Well, that's not in the Bible. The Bible actually expresses God is love, and he was love before he made man. He was love before he created the earth and the stars. He is love. He is totally fulfilled within himself. But he, in all of his creation, he doesn't have anything that he has created that can appreciate his creativity. Now, how many of you know that we all, in some measure, like people to appreciate our creativity? But we're all different. And depending what your creativity is, you understand it. You know, I love art. Elise loves art. We appreciate art more than most people. Do you know why? Because we do it. I've gone into art galleries and I've watched people going around looking at some of these. And I get that, and I'm captivated by the paintings, by the portraits, by the action, by the beautiful landscapes and seascapes, because I know how hard it is to paint. Most people that go into an art gallery don't paint, so they don't know. They can't appreciate the creativity of that artist. Leonardo da Vinci is one of my favorite artists. And I've took just a picture. He painted the Virgin Mary, called the Virgin of the Rocks. And in that picture, there's this a beautiful angel that is there, female angel. Don't know if there's such a thing, but he painted a female angel. And she is strikingly beautiful. So I thought, I'm going to copy her. I'm talking about full oil painting, copy her. I have painted her 20 separate times. One time it took me a year. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I can't get what that guy got, but I can appreciate what he's done. Because I cannot duplicate what Leo nodded. And he hasn't got all the things going from that I've got. Do you understand? So an artist can appreciate art because they know what goes into it. Elise can appreciate portraits because she knows incredible patience that she has. And isn't that something to think that this girl's got patience? I mean, you know, we know her. We know her. But when it comes to art, she's got the patience, which is incredible. Because she appreciates it. And she can also appreciate art that other people's done. Now, it might be the same for woodworkers. A person who works in wood or metal or whatever it may be. They appreciate what others have done because they're doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? They appreciate the technicalities of it on anything. Now, I don't believe any other creature that God has ever created has the ability to understand God's creative powers. Elephants don't. Kangaroos don't. Giraffes don't. Aren't they wonderful creatures? But they don't understand the creativity of their God. Some of you are saying, oh, but the angels do. No, I don't think they do. I don't believe that God created angels with creativity. I don't see any scripture that tells me an angel has got creative powers. None. I don't look from Genesis to Revelation and see any creative powers. Angels can love God or not, so they do have a choice like we do, but not creative powers. I'm going to tell you something that happens to angels when they fall from God. They don't become creative, they become destructive. A third of the angels in heaven fell with Lucifer, and they're all destructive. They're not creative. Can I just say this? Satan has never created anything. He's only destroyed what God is making and what man has made. People say, oh, Satan created the atomic bomb. No, he didn't. Man discovered and brought about atomic power, and Satan touched it and destroyed it, and out of it comes bombs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever Satan puts his finger on when he sees what man has done, as he sees what God has done, he can't create, but he can destroy. So he has destructive powers, not creative. Let us make man in our own image. Now, this is part of a Bible study, and I promise you I'm going to be finished soon. But I could go into a lot of detail and a lot of scriptures. So today you're going to have to take my word for this. That when God says, we're going to make man in our image, he's talking about man's creative ability. He's talking about man's creative ability. God made man with the ability to create. And if you don't believe me, in Genesis it tells us there at the Tower of Babel, when God had told them after they'd sinned and fallen and blah, 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 and then the flood had come, and then they started to multiply again. And God said, multiply over the face of the earth. And they didn't. They spoke one language. And for some reason they said, let's build a tower to heaven. Let's build a tower to heaven. And they started to do that. And God said, I'm going to go down and see what they've done. And when God came to see it, he was so amazed by it that he had to stop them. Now, God's never stopped anybody building a skyscraper. Has he? He's never stopped them building jumbo jets. He's never stopped them. But this particular building somehow was going to reach heaven. And not necessarily in the dimensions of distance, but maybe they began to understand, because human beings were doing this, the dimension in which God was in. What were they adding to that building? This is what God says. You can read it for yourself in Genesis. And God said, he's going to confuse their languages. He says, because if as one people they've done this, then nothing will be impossible for them. I've just quoted God talking about man. God has actually said, these men, they were fallen men, they were sinful men, but together had the ability to touch God as to where he is. And he says, now they've started to do this. If I don't do something, whatever they put there, nothing will be impossible for them. This is talking about man in his fallen position. This is scriptural. So man has the ability to create. And you think what man has done. If you lived 200 years ago and you told people today what you'd be looking at, an iPad or an iPhone or a Fitbit, they'd have laughed at you, probably burned you at the stake. You'd have been called a witch. If you were to say to somebody, I've got this little gadget now, I'm in Australia, but if I turn this on, I can see what's happening right now in England. I can watch the English elections going on. I can see it. You'd have been burned at the stake. Do you understand what I'm saying? But look at the steps that man has made in technology. It's creative ability, and it's because they came together to use their brains and their minds. Think of the medical science. I'm amazed by what man can do. There's a lot more for him to do, but I'm talking about what he has done. So, I believe when God created man, he gave man creative abilities, and because we have creative abilities, we can appreciate God who created everything. We can appreciate how God created, what God does. Giving thanks to God not only releases those chemicals in the brain that produce happiness, joy, well-being, and sanity, but when we give thanks to God, we are the only ones who appreciate what God has done. We understand His creativity, His infinite power, His capacity to work. Do you understand God's a hard worker? Now let's talk about the angelic beings. Let's talk about this creation that is relatively new to God. It might be trillions of years old, but it's new to God because He's been around forever. He created it. I was just looking on television the other day at and we're having some incredible telescopes built in West Australia, I don't really know that, that's going to penetrate where no one's ever seen before. But then they were showing you these films that the strongest telescopes we have, and you look up in the head, and it's a sea of stars. Millions, billions, trillions of stars, much bigger than our sun. God made them all. Can you imagine the capacity of God's mind to create that? And then out of all this massive creation, not only all the stars, but the planets that go with them, He picked a little planet, a tiny little pinprick of a planet, near a star that we call our sun. And He realized that was just the right distance away to do what He wanted to do. He planned it, worked it out. And He brought life to Earth. Man is searching for life on other planets. Do you know what? They ain't going to find any. He ain't going to find any because God is the creator. God makes. God has created. He's done something unique. This is, again, I can't get my mind around this. Why didn't God choose a bigger planet? Come on, why couldn't our planet have been as big as the sun? And why couldn't you be a mile tall? Do you know what, that's using, but God didn't. If the universe is as big as we know it is, and this earth is a pinprick, how big are you? How big are you? But let's look at you. You're less than a pinprick when we're talking about the cosmos. But what about your brain? You've got a most complicated, incredible piece of machinery behind that bit of bone up there. Incredible. It's complicated. Just talk to any woman, you see how complicated the brain really is. It's a complicated piece of machinery, far superior to any computer that man has made. If you put all the computers in the world together, they couldn't do what your brain can do. Your eye, how complicated is your eye? How complicated is your ear? Listen, you break this down, you're made up of cells. Now, if you're a pinprick, on a pinprick of a planet, and your cell, how big is that? How big is your smallest cell that is an incredible piece of machinery that man is only just beginning to find out that those cells that you can't see with a human eye are so intricately made that it baffles them? Who did it? He did it. Come on, you serve a great creative God. This is God. He works hard. Don't just think God just sat there one day and thought, okay, I'll create man. He had to put a lot of work into that. I can tell just by looking at you, a lot of work's gone into some of you. A lot of work. A lot of work God put into the earth, into the solar system, into the universe, into the galaxies. He put this work into it. And God is a spirit. He's not physical. He's a spirit. Everything he made before he made this physical galaxies were spiritual. All the angelic beings are spiritual. They're invisible. God is invisible. So what sort of a creature is God? He's wonderful. Come on. You see, when we really begin to see and start giving thanks to him, we see this, listen. We understand his creativity, his infinite power, his capacity to work. We can bask in the sunlight of his love, grace, forgiveness, purity, truth, and righteousness. It's been a joy for me to love my wife and to have been with her for nearly 60 years and to realize that after 60 years, I know less about her than I did when I first met her. When I was courting her, we got married after 3 years. Just before we were married, I said, Julie, I just want you to know something, love. I was 19, she was 18. I said, Julie, I know you like the back of my hand. I said, I know how you think. I know you. That's what a stupid 19-year-old telling a woman an 80 that he knew her like the back of his hand. 60 years later, I ain't got a clue. And what's more, she hasn't got a clue about me. Do you know what I mean? We are complicated beings. God's made us. God's created us. But it's been my joy to be married that long and I still love her. As I've told you, I still sing to her. And I still want to know her. It takes people a lifetime to get to know each other, and then they don't. How long is it going to take us to get to know God? Come on, for the whole of eternity, we're going to explore the infinite power, love, mercy, grace of God. The best thing that's ever happened to us is God, the knowledge of God. Paul says, the God of this world, small g, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They can't see God. See, God is trying to rob you of something, and he's trying to rob God of something. He's trying to rob you of your appreciation of God's creativity. We have today evolution that tells us we came from nothing, by nothing, without nothing. And nothing did it all. Your brain works because of nothing. Well, actually, they don't say that. They say your brain works like it does because of random mutation of the genes. The genes in you got mutated. And so you're a whole lot of mutants. That's what they teach. We laugh at that, but that's what they teach. They teach it. The devil wants to rob you of your appreciation of your creator's creative powers. I won't let him rob me of that. I'm going to keep giving thanks to God. I'm going to thank him at all times, at all seasons, in all circumstances, because he is the one who I'm going to spend eternity with. I don't want to spend eternity with Satan. Come on. I don't want to spend eternity with Satan, who just destroys and cripples and maims. I want to spend my eternity with God, who loved the world so much that he sent his son into the world. We're remembering it right now, and I finish with this. He came down, God, and made himself a man, I want to tell you, that's the biggest creative thing that he's ever done. Bigger than creating the galaxies, bigger than creating the universe, bigger than creating the planet, bigger than creating the animals, bigger than creating you, that God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I know that some of those things were new for you. Some of you hadn't realized that God created you to appreciate it, because you're the only one who can. Don't go to your dog or your cat and say, come on, let's praise God, because they ain't going to do it. Do you remember I used to have that friend who had a parrot, and he taught the parrot to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I went to his house one day when I was pastoring. I went to his house. He says, John, he says, my parrot praises God. I said, what? He said, listen to it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he thought it was really praising God. I said, no, it's a parrot. It doesn't know what it's saying. It's just copying. It isn't appreciating God. But you can. Hallelujah. You can. You have this God-given capacity because you are a creative being yourself. None of the animals are creative beings. All the animals are instinctive beings. They work by instinct. Human beings do have instincts built into them, but we also have the creative power that we can go on. We can make things better. We can make things brighter. We can make things bigger. We have a certain creative power. It's a finite creative power, because only God is infinite, but it helps us to appreciate what he's done. I have to say, in closing, each painting that I did of the angel in the Virgin of the Rocks, each angel I did, I was totally dissatisfied with it. Totally. I've done one that the girls thought's pretty good. I'm looking at it, think, no. What it's done, it's made me more and more appreciate the artistic ability of Leonardo da Vinci. And when I look at the earth and the creation and the stars, David says, when I consider thy works, the works that you have made, the stars that you set in the heavens, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? When I look at this, I say, God, what a great creator you are. Do I appreciate you? I do. Do I appreciate my wife? I do. Do I appreciate my children? I do. Do I appreciate my grandchildren? Well, hardly. But I'm forced to, because I've got to. But do I appreciate God? You better believe it. He lights up my life. Jesus is the source of my life. And I keep on praising him. Can I say this to you today? Give thanks. Give over this Christmas time. You don't have to have people around. Just by yourself, give thanks. Say, God, I just want to thank you. Look at this Christmas dinner that we're going to have. Thank you, Lord. Look at these lovely clothes. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for those who are not so fortunate as us, that you'll break into their lives over this Christmas time. When you meet with your family, don't go Bible bashing them over Christmas. Don't do that. If they're not Christian, don't Bible bash them, please. Don't be so stupid. The hardest thing for you to preach to is your family. So don't even try. But drop words of love. Gossip the gospel. Just show them that you love them and you care for them. Let them see something in you that they say, I want what that person's got. I want what he's got. I want it. And you will see that Christmas will be a wonderful time for you. This is a good church. And I believe that you're good people. So this isn't a rebuke that I'm saying to you, but just an exhortation that over this Christmas time, take time off every day to give thanks to him for all the good things he's done to you. And if you are hurting or feeling lonely, or there are certain needs that you have, just trust God. Give him thanks anyway. Thank him anyway. And you'll see what God will do with you. Father, help us as your people to truly appreciate what a wonderful, marvelous, glorious, creative God you are. We can't even begin to start to fathom what your mind must be like. How do you think? How tremendous are your thoughts. How deep are your thoughts. How hard you have worked. In fact, Lord, you said that when you created the heavens and the earth, you put man on the earth eventually, then you took a time out. You rested from your work. But Lord, we thank you because you're working again now, building a new heaven, hallelujah, and a new earth for us, that we have, Lord, a wonderful place in heaven that you are building for us now. You're still working, and we say thank you for that. Help us over this Christmas period to bring cheer to your heart, Lord, to bring something to your heart that you will feel good about. Because, Lord, we're the only ones who can appreciate your creativity. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.